The Extra, the show that connects you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, as we do every month, we're connecting with the folks at the Better Business Bureau. Our guest today, Jonathan Liebert, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Ada Rodriguez, Vice President of Operations and Development for the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. Ada, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Well, you know, Ada and Jonathan, contrary to what many people believe, the Better Business Bureau has found that young people are at far greater risk of being scammed than even seniors, that there's, in fact, an age range between 18 and 24-year-old that is the most susceptible to scams. And this is something that I know we've connected on off-air in the past, but this is something we really want to bring our listeners' attention to now. So, Jonathan, why don't you tell us just how widespread this problem is and what the crooks are doing that's really going to make some of our younger and more vulnerable wage earners, because those are the ones with money, victims, fall victim.
Yeah, absolutely. And this may be news to some. It's relatively new findings. We've been kind of tracking this trend as far as, you know, this population being scanned more often than other populations. And, you know, now it's official, sadly. Not the first place category that you'd hope to be in, right? But most people do believe that, you know, seniors are the most scammed. Actually, they have fallen to second place now. But yes, it is these younger individuals, 18 to 24-year-olds, that are getting scammed more and more often. And some of the scams that they're falling victim to is a lot of them have to do with social media scams. Probably come as no surprise. These come in a lot of different forms, and a lot of different people get, you know, really fooled by these. But that's the number one scam for young people. The second one is counterfeit online purchases. So again, if you're out there looking for something that you want to buy, and it's something that's a really good price, maybe it's too good to be true, it probably is. And so scammers like to advertise an item that has an expensive brand name for a lower price. And so consumers will neither, they'll never receive this item, or they'll receive an item that's very, very different from what was advertised. And obviously, that's not what you want. So we all have to be careful, especially these days with counterfeit online purchases. But, you know, absolutely, that's a demographic that scammers are going for, hoping to get young people with that one.
And are these young people losing money in these scams, or are they just, you know, having personal information stolen, and that means that they have to go through a whole lot of hardship?
That's a great question. They are losing money. And that's the unfortunate piece. They're also losing information as well. And so, again, you know, giving some information over to these scammers where they can use it against you later on, that's definitely there. But, you know, they're losing money. And, you know, especially with the two first scams that I mentioned, the social media scams and counterfeit online purchases, those ones unfortunately come with usually some pretty big dollars attached to it, which is pretty sad.
And then I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were talking about other types of scams. Go on.
Yeah, so the identity theft one, which is kind of that other part of your question of, you know, they may not be losing money right away, but if they're getting different types of information, personal information, if teens are handing that over to scammers, and again, that creates more opportunities for scammers. So just in general, you know, they might get personal information requests in the form of pop-ups, social media surveys, false credit card applications. Hey, click this link, you know, all of that stuff that we talk about a lot on here. A lot of this information or, you know, scams are newer to teenagers. So if you think about, you know, we've been talking about this for years, but there's a whole, you know, younger group of people that have not heard, you know, the information that we're passing out today. So they get a cell phone. They're starting to get information through the cell phone. They're signing up for different accounts or sign up for social media. There's just a lot of opportunity for scammers to go after them because they're typically not as informed. And then the last one I'll mention is just online contests. There's a lot of these kind of going out there. It could be literature or an art contest. And in the end, you know, you're the winner, but you're required to pay money to get published or to receive the recognition that they were hoping for. And so, you know, as we talk about a lot, if anybody wants you to pay money to receive a prize or pay money to get money, absolutely kind of one of those, you know, huge red flags, the hallmark of a lot of scams. So those are just a couple of the areas that teenagers are getting scammed on. Again, we all have to be careful of those, but those are the big ones for that age group of 18 to 24 year olds.
Right, because generally you can make the generalization that people who are in this age bracket, you know, 18, even younger maybe, and up to 24, they're not making a lot of money, but they really are valuing the money that they make. So a loss of anything is really going to come as a blow. Ada Rodriguez.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ada Rodriguez, let's bring you into the conversation because the list of scams keeps going that are really targeting some of our younger people. We've heard about them, as Jonathan was pointing out. We've heard about these for a while.
Right. Yeah, the last four that I wanted to mention, which I do think are really important just for our listeners to be aware of. Financial scams, which is a very broad category, of course, what they're talking about specifically for teens is that teens tend to get involved in Ponzi schemes or pyramid schemes, trying to make money where they end up losing money. Another example of this scam that we will talk about in more detail because we've seen an unfortunate increase in it is something called a sugar daddy or sugar mama scam, and we'll talk more in detail about that, but teens and young adults are more likely to lose money with that particular scam as well. Scholarship and grants, which again, not a surprise. This is a population that's looking for any type of money to help cover their education. Similar to the false application for scholarships, there's also similar scams that target young college students that have college debt. So those are two areas kind of related to that college scholarship and grant scam. The last two I'll mention is online auctions. So there are online platforms where after winning a bidding war or paying for an item, you never receive it essentially. So they excite the teen by giving them the opportunity to bid on maybe a high priced item that they never actually receive after paying. Mm. And then cell phone freebies, which again, not a surprise. This is an age range that's on their cell phone all the time. Their cell phone is one of their most prized possessions. So claims of free ringtones and wallpapers and various kind of accessories that come with your cell phone is another way that scammers are targeting this population.
And you know, they're just not sophisticated or savvy enough to be looking in the fine print for some of these, because some of these are not outright crimes. I mean, you know, I'm sure the wallpaper and the ringtones do have some sort of, you know, fine print that says, yes, this fee is going to be added to you monthly. Those monthly fees can really kill you over time. So, okay, we're going to continue the conversation with Ada Rodriguez and Jonathan Liebert of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado in just a moment. We do need to take a short moment for our commercials. Keep it right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And as we visit with the Better Business Bureau, as we do every month, this month's topic, we are talking about some of the scams that are targeting some of our younger and more vulnerable residents and citizens and people who are just starting out on their wage-earning ways. And we were talking, you touched on this term, sugar mama and sugar daddy scams. Ada and Jonathan, let's bring Jonathan in. Why don't you give us a little bit more detail about this?
Yeah, this is something that we really want to make sure that we're getting this information into the hands of a lot of different people. Specifically, parents and guardians need to be aware of this scam. This is kind of a new spin off of a romance scam. We've talked a lot about romance scams the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But here's how this scam works. You will receive a message through social media or even from a dating app. And it comes from someone that's offering to be your sugar mama, your sugar daddy. And, you know, it could be something simple, right? So, you know, in exchange for something as simple as just a good morning message, they're going to reach out and say, you know, look, I'm lonely because of COVID and, you know, I just want to be able to talk to somebody and have people send me cards or something in the mail, you know, just those types of nice types of things. And so basically what they're telling you is that in exchange for your attention and, you know, just some nice messages here and there, they're going to pay you a weekly allowance of several hundred dollars. And, you know, to a young person, it's like, this is great. Like, that makes sense. You know, people are lonely. They've been quarantined for a year now, and they just need somebody to talk to. And you're going to give me some money just to be nice to them? Okay. You know, what could be wrong with that?
Right.
And of course, there's lots of things wrong with this. The scammer, you know, at first looks like they're legitimate. And it really is going to be a deal that's too good to be true, as I mentioned. And what you're going to see is the scammer's going to send the individual check, or they're going to pretend to transfer money into your bank account. They then tell you to keep most of the money for your weekly allowance, but then they want you to do them a small favor. So the scammer is going to ask you to transfer part of that cash to one of their friends or to their own child or to pay an outstanding bill or even make a donation to charity. We had one victim report that the con artist wanted them to donate several thousand dollars of the money they received to an orphanage. And of course, you know, the check and the bank transfer was fake, and the orphanage was just really the scammer or an associate using a different name on the other end of receiving that money. And so what's unfortunate about this is that, you know, people think that, there's a check, and I see the check. I'm going to go cash this check. Yes, I'm going to pay this money. You're paying it out of your own bank account. And then that check bounces. And so that's where people are really getting confused about, wait, I didn't realize that, like, that this could happen. We're aware of one college student that shared that they lost $5,000 due to the scam. She was looking for a way to make some extra money and thought that sending an inspirational text message once a day was well worth the pay the scammer was offering. Unfortunately, the scammer drained her bank account once they obtained access to the account. And so it's just really kind of spooky that this is happening. And again, you know, you do have people that are trying to make a little bit of money or trying to do something nice. It sounds like you're doing something good. It doesn't sound, you know, too fishy until you dig into a little bit more. And it's like, wait a second, nobody's going to pay me money just to send them nice text messages. But people want this stuff to be so true. They want this to be real. And so they'll fall for it. And it's not. And this is something we're seeing a lot more people getting involved with.
And like you said, a lot of times it does show that there's money in their account because and that gives them this false sense that everything's right and that money is there, right? That's
right,
what
exactly.
Makes them pay out on the other end and then end up in trouble with the bank. All right, Ada, are there ways to protect yourself from this scam if there are any of the younger people listening to this who might be targeted or even your loved ones? What are ways to prevent this from happening?
Yeah, so this is kind of just a quick list of reminders to protect you from many scams that we mentioned earlier in the show, but specifically certainly the sugar daddy, sugar mama scam. As Jonathan mentioned earlier, one of the most important ways to prevent it is this awareness for parents and guardians so that they can help educate their teens or educate your friends and everyone you might know about, you know, clicking on things. And really the first tip is to really avoid clicking on any requests or messages from someone you don't know, even ones that you do know. We've all seen those requests or messages come through Facebook or Instagram where someone's account was hacked. You even have to be wary of messages from people you do know and really evaluating the language and the wording and making sure that it makes sense, being hypersensitive to that. If you are using a dating site, which there are many legit dating sites, of course, you know, an impossible scam does present itself, and just always making sure that you're doing research and that you're communicating with the individual on the dating site so that it's easier to be tracked as opposed to offline on your cell phone or your personal email. Reverse searching images on websites and profiles. This is something that a lot of people forget about, that you can kind of right click on them and try to find whether or not they've been stolen from another profile or a website. That will also give you an indication whether or not it's legit. Of course, never sending money or sensitive personal information. And I think there's also just needs to be some education from parents and guardians on what even sensitive information is. So even something as simple as your full name can be used against you by a scammer. And so just being really careful to not give out that information or send any sort of money out. Never trust a deal that's too good to be true. That certainly ties into the counterfeit goods. But even the sugar mama scam, where maybe sending an inspirational text for money sounds like a great way to make additional cash while you're in college. Oftentimes those deals are the scammers. And then of course, knowing your rights and responsibilities when it comes to using checks. And you talked a little bit about this, Shannon, just that the money does appear that it's there. So your bank will allow you to cut another check or to use the funds before they actually officially hit your account, which is where there's that risk, because then you owe that money back to the bank, of course. So just, again, kind of that education around managing a checking account and using that checking account. And then the last one, educate yourself and young people as much as possible. Excuse me, as I mentioned earlier, whether that's through BBB.org, FTC.org, Stop Fraud Colorado, there are also a lot of local financial institutions that are offering financial awareness and education to teens that does help prevent just the scams, because you're more aware and educated on how to manage your bank account and funds.
Right. Yeah. We as adults, as older adults, we know that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's a tough lesson to impart at such an early age. You know, there's still so much, idealism, and they haven't been touched by scams in the way that a lot of us have by the time that, we're really getting targeted. I had no idea that this had blown up so much for the scammers, that they had been identifying this demographic as a group that was susceptible, but it sounds like they are. We're going to be back with more of the Better Business Bureau in just a couple moments. Need to take a quick moment, but again, if you want to find out about the sugar baby scam or the sugar daddy scam or the sugar mama scam, make sure you go to BBB.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about how small business owners are now unfortunately in the crosshairs of scammers and what those particular scams might look like. You're listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. And we're back here on The Extra, and our guests today, Ada Rodriguez and Jonathan Liebert of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. And let's talk about some of the business scams that are now making the rounds. And when I mean business scams, those that are targeting small businesses, maybe owners. And I'm not saying small necessarily. It might be large businesses too, because sometimes the scammers, all they need is that one inroad, and then they can really make mincemeat of financials or identities or any and all of the above. Jonathan Liebert, why don't you tell us about what's been going on?
Well, since the pandemic has been around, we have seen just scams across the board skyrocket. And, if you want to just look up online, just check out any of those charts, and you'll see scams kind of increasing a little bit each year, but then they just jump in 2020. Mm-hmm. What I like telling people is that scammers prey on fear and uncertainty. That's how they make money. And 2020, we kind of had that by the boatload, right? We had all kinds of people thinking about not sure what was going to happen, new opportunities for people to get money based on, government checks that were going out, new loan programs, just a lot of uncertainty, lack of education really helped scammers make a lot of money. People forget, too, that this is a $1 billion industry. And so as long as scammers keep making money, they're going to do more of this. And unfortunately, we are at an all-time high right now because of 2020 and the pandemic, where scammers made more money. So they just targeted that, vulnerability. They targeted lack of knowledge, the pandemic. It just created this perfect environment for this. And so we're going to talk about just a couple of different, about 10 common scams that we're seeing today that can impact any size business, but as you said, specifically kind of focusing on those smaller businesses. And so number one is the email compromise. I know people get these all the time in a variety of different ways. This one here in particular, just more like of a phishing scam that is trying to obtain information or money from a user in an organization. Scammers will send an email posing as a colleague or a boss asking for important information. And, you want to make sure that that is legitimate, and you don't want to give that information over. If something seems off, check that email to make sure it's coming from the correct organizational name, right? So sometimes if you look closely at the to or the from on there, you can see just different email configurations, and you want to be careful about that. Mm. Number two, the phony invoice. These invoices are typically for office supplies, website, or domain hosting services that you may not be actually receiving. Invoices can appear threatening and very legit. So, they're often paid without a second look. You can also get, I get these every once in a while, a fax that comes to my email in a Word document or PDF document. don't open those. I mean, again, that's the thing. They want you to click on these links. They want you to pay these invoices, but they could also damage you or your computer if you open up these files. You could be absolutely letting scammers get into your computer. So you want to be careful that you've got information that you know is coming from a source that you trust. Number three, directory scams. This is an attempt to fool businesses into paying for a listing in a directory that doesn't even exist. This scam can come up via email, social media message, or even just a good old plain-fashioned letter mailed to the business location from a company that may or may not even exist. Number four, stolen identity is always a big one. This one's often directed at consumers. Somebody could be out there using your business's good name, and scammers will hijack that name and information and even use your branding to get consumers' attention. People have used the Better Business Bureau's name to get businesses' attention. Those ones kind of cycle around every so often. At the top of the list is Amazon. Microsoft is up there. So big corporations, big companies, companies people typically trust that they respect. They'll try to use that business's name to get into the door, get your information, steal information from you. And so this can tarnish your reputation as a business. This can direct consumers to other scams. And again, the whole goal is to obtain personal information or money. And then number five, public health and government check scams. Obviously, this is because of the pandemic. These kind of changed in tone. There have always been these government people checking in with you, asking for information. But because of COVID-19, this was now, people posing as government officials, calling your business, informing them that an official needs personal information for your employees in order to communicate important COVID-19 health information. Again, you shouldn't be giving that information out to anybody. And again, this is kind of a form of an imposter scam. They typically will copy government entities. There's that scam that we all kind of know about, around tax season, when they're trying to get you to, give them more information, posing as the government. So this one is still government officials, but again, they're trying to get you around this COVID health information to give up key information for your employees. So again, just got to be really, really careful with this and really make sure you know who you're talking to, who you're getting emails from, double check before you start clicking on links and opening these files, because that can get some compromising information in your computer. And again, they're trying to get any information they can from you. So you got to be careful. Got to be vigilant.
Some of them look so official or business-like. I mean, the scammers have become very sophisticated in how they present, whatever it is that there is their entree, whether it's an email or a fax or something like that. Very difficult to differentiate sometimes.
Absolutely. And as technology gets better and better, sadly, it'll make it easier and easier for scammers to fool us. And so, again, the technology and the rise in technology is absolutely making them look difficult to spot.
And Ada Rodriguez, bringing you into the conversation, too, about these business scams. Why don't you give us an example of one? We have about time for one, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back with some more that you have. I know that you want people to be aware of, because it's only through awareness that we can protect ourselves, prevent this from happening, maybe cause these scammers to just wither at the roots if they are not getting fed all the time.
Right, yeah. So number six of the 10 are phishing scams, and we're all familiar with phishing scams because they come in many different formats. But this could be because of a business email compromise. You're getting an email that looks legitimate with a link to click on, or it could be from someone that you don't recognize. Either way, really what the scammers are trying to get you to do is click that link, which typically will load a virus on your computer, able to download personal information that you may have in your system. So we see that personally, but we also certainly see that scam targeting our small businesses and businesses in general.
Okay, well, we have much more of these scam alerts to let you know about. That's coming up after we take a short break. You're listening to The Extra and the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado as our guest today. Keep it right here on KRDO News Radio. We're back with the Extra. In today's show, we're focusing on scams and how to prevent them, how to protect yourself from becoming a victim. And this goes for you individually, if you're listening. It also goes for you if you are an employee, a manager, an owner of a business out there, because unfortunately, the scammers do not play favorites. They are equal opportunity equal opportunity crooks who take advantage of anyone regardless of their position if they can. Ada Rodriguez joining us from the Better Business Bureau. So Ada, you were telling us about phishing scams. We have heard of those, you know, phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, for people who are wondering, you know, not having to do with a fish from the sea, but something that they're trying to pluck something from the sea. They're trying to pluck your information, really, and see if they can hook you, right?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what the phishing scams are, whether that comes through an email or a text message. They're phishing for that personal information so that they can, one, make you more susceptible to other scams, potentially allowing you to let them access your bank account information. So, yes, certainly need to be careful of those. There are a few other ones that I'll rattle off and share before Jonathan provides some tips to small businesses and individuals listening. Office supply scams is another one that, again, seems kind of benign, but it happens frequently enough that we do need to raise awareness, and it does impact a business financially. So really what this looks like is a caller claiming to be with a reputable company. Usually they've done the research, and so they're using the name of a company that you use, and they're claiming that there's a surplus of office supplies or equipment materials that you can essentially seal the deal on if you pay them upfront. And so again, they appear legit in the email or on the phone, often using high pressure tactics of you need to pay now and you'll be able to obtain this deal. As small businesses, many small businesses are hurting as a result of the pandemic. Again, they're just more vulnerable and looking maybe for some of these deals. So again, kind of the same thing of if a deal is too good to be true, probably is, or at least do your research so that you can feel comfortable with it. Coupon books is another one that isn't necessarily, the coupon book selling itself isn't necessarily the scam, but what can happen is if you don't read the fine print or ask solid questions as a business, you may be committing to or agreeing to something different verbally than what is actually written down. And so we've seen situations at the BBB where businesses agree to partner with a coupon book, sold an ad, whatever it might be, but you know, they use the wrong expiration date, or they were advertising their services outside of their true service area. So just some of those coupon books need to really be evaluated for that fine print and ensure that you are clear on what you are participating in. The next one, vanity award scams. And I know personally, I've seen this come through to the BBB to me, where they are trying to entice you in stating that you've won this small business award of the area or various types of awards, right? And so they get you excited.
Trying to lure you in.
They want you to click on this link, right? And then once you do, of course, they say, claim your award by paying us $200 or whatever it might be, and you can print it. So there's not a whole lot of information around the award. We've also gotten calls at the BBB from businesses asking us if certain awards are legit, and they sound very legit, but once you start doing the research, there's nothing out there on them. So that's kind of the risk there. And the last one that I'll kind of leave with before we get into some of the prevention and some of the tips is an overpayment scam, which again, we've all kind of heard this in other scenarios, but it's the same thing with business, where you may be working with an individual or a so-called company, and they'll overpay you and then ask that you wire the overpayment back to them. Kind of, you know, again, the checks will bounce and then you're left without the payment from the company and out the money that you wired them. And so this could come from maybe a scammy partner or contractor that you may not know is a scam. Or it could be, you know, you're working with a legitimate company, but then a scammer called in pretending to be with that company. So sadly, you just can't ever let your guard down, even when you are working with a trusted company, because as we heard earlier, They're individuals that are, you know, out there posing to be with a legit company. So that's a scary one as well.
So many ways that they are targeting us and trying to make us part from our money or our information. Jonathan, what are some tips for preventing this, for keeping us from being victims?
Absolutely. So, I mean, again, at the BBB, we got to tell you, always do business with people that you trust and with businesses that have been vetted. So go check out BBB.org for a whole list of folks that we have vetted. We do that work for you, but you always want to make sure it's all about trust. Make sure you know who they are, or there's a third party like BBB that has vetted them for you. Do your research. When you receive these deals, or something looks too good to be true, or it's like, well, there's something kind of weird, take your time. Go check it out. I always tell people, it's like if something pops up through my email or I get something on social media, I'm going to start my own search on the web browser myself versus just clicking those links because it looks so easy and nice and that could take you to a fake website. I'm going to go to my own search, start a fresh one and see what comes up with that. Check that URL. The URL is that address at the top in your web box. And so you can just kind of hover over it and see if anything weird pops up. A lot of times strange stuff will that just don't make sense. So if it might be something that looks like it's coming from Amazon. And then if it's got Amazon and it says a bunch of other information in there from another country or a different company's name or something else, that's another good indication that it's fake. You can call these vendors directly. Instead of trusting the email, maybe call the company. Maybe it is Microsoft reaching out to you or Amazon. You know, again, go through the regular channels to call customer service or to call somebody up directly to just double check and say, are you offering this incentive? Are you offering this deal? I just wanted to make sure because I saw this online. And they'll tell you right away, no, we have no idea what you're talking about. Or yes, we do. We have the special. Okay, great. I'd like to place an order. It's really important that you don't react even if you feel pressured. A lot of these scams have to do with them making sure that you know that, hey, this is time sensitive. It's urgent. You're going to get fined. You're going to go to jail, right? They want you to just react and just don't think. Take your time to do the research. Take your time to get back to the caller if somebody's pressuring you. Take some time to just do that research. They want you to make an impulsive decision. And so if you take some time, that'll make you feel better about it, but it'll also give you time to do that research. Make sure that you're keeping good records. Make sure that you're creating processes and procedures where there may be payments for a certain amount. They have to go through multiple people in your business in an attempt to catch a scam. Be careful what information your company shares on employees. Businesses will always ask what the information is being used for, so create a policy around that. Then again, you got to also make sure you're protecting your devices, your computers. Make sure you have proper policies. Make sure you have a good IT vendor. But make sure that your computers have proper protection, software, firewall. Make sure you're downloading those updates. This is the thing with all these scams going on right now. We got people that are not updating their computers regularly. That puts you at risk. So, you know, you want to make sure you've got those updates on your phones, on your computers on a regular basis. But, you know, also making sure that you've got the proper firewalls in place for your systems. And again, because most people have this good firewall stuff in the work setting and most people are working from home, that creates a lot of issues and a lot of opportunity, quite, you know, frankly, for scammers to come get your information. Typically, our homes are not as secure as they are at work. So just be aware of that. And then the last thing I'll just mention is just spread the word. Put this information out there. Educate your family. Talk about this to your employees. Check out BBB.org. Check out our scam tracker website. Just stay up to speed on this stuff. Educate yourself and tell other people about this as well. It's important that we get this information out there. So thank you for that opportunity to get this information out today.
Well, and I thank you, Jonathan Liebert, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado, and Ada Rodriguez, VP of Operations and Development for the BBB. Sorry, we're out of time, but again, guiding our listeners to that website, bbb.org. You can check out /scam tracker for the very latest on these and other scams and how to protect yourself. Jonathan and Ada, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks to our listeners for joining us on today's The Extra.